You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and we have tattoo artist, thinker, and artist extraordinaire, Renee Barish, reaching her from the lovely, lovely community of Astoria, Oregon. Renee, welcome on to Something Rather Than Nothing.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, really excited to talk to you about what you create and what you do in the art that you create. Starting from the beginning though, hearing a bit more like about you and where you come from is a question about you as an artist and your propensity to being an artist. When you were born, when you were younger, were you an artist? Do you identify yourself as an artist or a creator?
Yeah, I would say so. It's interesting. I kind of heard two questions there. There's the question of, were you born an artist or creator? And then did you identify as an artist?
Yeah.
First I want to say, I think everybody is born an artist. You know, I really believe that as we live our lives in the best way we can to stay true to ourselves, like that is our art. And so everybody is born an opportunity to live their art and to embody their art and whatever falls to them. So I'll say that first. And then for me, identifying as an artist was kind of a default. My parents are both visual artists, and I grew up in Portland, very involved in a number of art communities. And there's just always art in the home and art being created. And so from a very young age, yes, there was this emphasis on, you know, whatever you do, your creative process and your creative vision comes first. Whatever that looks like, if it's visual art, if it's music, if it's, outward expression like clothing or jewelry. I would say artists was just kind of in my blood from the beginning.
Yeah. And one of the things that brought me to ask you come on to the show is your beautiful tattoo art that you create and that you have, being a particular type of art form, of course, you know, applied to the skin and the meaning that's around that, kind of like the transformation of the body. What led you to using that as a primary mode of expression and setting up shop as a tattoo artist?
Well, I started getting tattooed very young, and I loved everything about it. I loved how I felt in the process and how transformative it was, and then how I felt, you know, carrying this tattoo around with me. And I would say that that is probably the biggest motivator that I had, was, you know, how I felt with tattoos is really what pushed me to want to tattoo. Making art growing up, I knew whatever I did, I needed to have that time and space for art. And so getting tattooed young, I also had a relationship with a tattooer and sort of had an inside look at the industry and really loved the community. And I really loved the collaboration as well, and the way that artists and clients come together to create something that is just so unique and is such a transformative experience for both parts. Those things all coupled, I think they're what that drew me to it. And then once I was in it and I started tattooing, I mean, it just sort of blew my mind with possibilities. This whole world of meeting somebody with their fantasies, with their imagination, with, you know, whatever it is that has brought them to a place where they want to seek out putting this image on their body. And I just feel so privileged to help them with that and whatever that looks like. So, you know, I have work that is, you know, original, say like original in quotes. I think it at some point, you know, everything's been done in some way, shape or form, but I have things that I've created that I will, you know, make available to clients and maybe they book for that. And then I also do a lot of custom work where clients come to me with maybe a collection of images or an idea that they've had, and then we'll work together to tailor the design to something that really feels right for them. So, you know, that piece too, again, with the collaboration and, just I can't do it without my clients. And when I first started getting tattooed, I loved that connection with the artist that I was working with. And now it's just flipped. I'm on the other side of it.
Yeah. I like the components of, you know, collaboration. I think it's always one of the things I try to do in podcasts, or I've discovered is, yeah, the questions are there, but there's so much of the interaction of artists with other artists and you working with your clients to, you know, make, you know, a pretty, you know, permanent decision or like reflection outward, like representation or reflection of what they want. I just find that process. I know tattoo artists and they're kind of intimate connect. I think the best ones are, you know, just have that connection to how important it is and how they work with somebody. And I think that's such a powerful, not knowing as being a tattooer like yourself, but just that, that connection. Tell us about your tattoo shops. You're in Astoria and in Portland, and I adore both places, both very different places. Tell us a little bit about your practice.
Sure. I moved to the North Oregon coast from Portland 3 years ago and opened the studio that I have here in Astoria. And I honestly did not move out to the coast planning to open a studio. I moved to small town and didn't really have a foot in the door with any of the shops here. And I ended up opening the studio more out of necessity. And I continued and still do tattoo with the shop in Portland that I tattooed with before I moved to the coast. It's a really, it's just a really strong family of artists. And I feel very thankful to continue to be a part of that while also sort of paving my own way here. And so the studio that I opened here on the coast, it became what my clients asked for and what they were responding to. It's a basement space in a historic building in downtown Astoria. I'm part of the Astoria Studio Collective in the historic Van Dusen building. And so the whole building is filled with artists and makers and writers. And I really enjoy like plugging into an artist community that is not part of the tattoo industry. I think that's been really inspiring. And it's also been a real push for me in my visual arts as well, like continue to make art as well as tattoo. And so the space, you know, being in the basement, it feels very intimate. It's very warm. A lot of like lanterns and tapestries, and painting the floor red was like the best thing that I ever did. It's like, it feels safe and it holds you. And it's allowed for that connectivity, really. And I don't know if I would be developing the like depth of connection that I am with my clients if I were not in a private space. It provides like a container for that. And I'm very process oriented as well. And so I really enjoy that. When my clients come down to the studio, it's so one-on-one, and it's you, and it's your time. And my focus is 110% on you. You know, I don't have people waiting in the lobby or other artists around. And it means that your tattoo, it'll evolve in that process as well. Like we have our design ahead of time, but if you come in and we have a 3 or 4 hour session booked, you know, it probably ends up being like 5 hours because we're also just hanging out. but I want to get it right. And I want to get to know you. And as I know you and spend time with you in the studio, we will likely make changes to the piece that, you know, might not happen if we are in more of a rushed environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like a little bit move away from like more of a transactional experience to one of like, you know, how important it is, and both for you as the artist, knowing how important it is, and rather than just the transaction, I could definitely see anytime artists or people who are working together, it evolves, right? Just like music or anything, it kind of develops on its own.
Yeah, I love that you said music. I think about recording studios, like if you're in a recording studio all night for a session and, you know, you take a break for snacks, or you go back and you re-record, you know, bits of the song or change up your lyrics. Like, yeah, absolutely. I had a couple people say it feels like a living room. Like, I feel like I'm just like in living room getting tattooed. And so there's that too. It makes it accessible. Which allows me to meet people in that place.
I encountered your studio in a strange way. I was, my son and I around, in late December, went out to Astoria and went to stay in a yurt during the snowstorm. It was a snowstorm in December in Astoria. And we were looking up tattoo artists, and like, I don't think we got past yours, Renee, because we love the ethos and we love like all the images and such. So I made a hard note in being like, okay, I'm gonna have to follow up with Renee. It's snowing right here right now, and things are closed. But so yeah, that's how I ended up connecting. And I did at least see the outside of the building, recognize it as kind of like a artist grounds and way station. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I'm so flattered. I also just make a little plug that I'm really happy you saw Astoria in the snow, because that's so rare for us. And that snowstorm was enchanting on every level. It just felt like it turned into this little Charles Dickens world out here.
It was quite beautiful. And I didn't notice distinctly. I've visited Astoria a few times. I've lived in the area for about 11 years. And one of the pieces about Astoria, which really appeals to me and where I'm from Rhode Island. And what I saw in Astoria was kind of like this, almost like historically, like the seafaring fishermen, those who can deal with water and intense elements of the Columbia and the Pacific. So it led to like, I think, different settlement patterns and different immigration patterns that I would experience on the East Coast as well. So I come from some Portuguese background, and started to think of like types of communities that know the waters and know fishing there. So I know like there's a large Finnish population. I knew there were some Portuguese, and the immigration pattern of those who would be able to deal with the tempestuous waters there ended up being there. And I think that pattern for me felt different than other settlement patterns in Oregon. So I've always been attracted to Astoria because it feels familiar to me in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And yeah, I understand that. Absolutely. It feels very edge of the world to me too.
Yep. Yep.
I love that so many people, you know, have been here for generations, and at the same time, there are many of us who chose this place.
Yeah.
And that mix, everybody who I've encountered here wants to be here, which is something too, you know, the whole vibration of Astoria is like, there's this history, but there's also people who want to be here to contribute because we love this place. Also makes it very welcoming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we share the Astoria love. I find it to be a fascinating place, and I love you have a tattoo shop there. Okay. Renee, we're talking some about art and creating things. I want to ask one of the big questions, for you as a creator and artist, what is art? What is art for you?
I think art is for me is an expression of the human experience. It's catharsis, you know, whatever we are moving through as human beings, art is a way to share and to try to process and make sense of it, especially for things that, you know, we don't have words for in our languages, like, you know, an image, a sound, a movement. You know, art is so inclusive of so many things. And yeah, I would say art is an expression of us and what we are embodying and seeing and hearing and just downloading every day being on Earth.
Yeah. I think it's such an important question. It gets asked, you know, particularly when you ask artists, it's like almost like, how do you live? Or like, what's your living like? Or what's it like to breathe? You know, because there's a strong drive to create. And I think having, you know, just thinking about what it is, you know, when we call something art, I've just been fascinated over the years by the variety of answers, whether it's something that seems ephemeral that might go away, like the way somebody dances, like as being artistic, but it's in a moment. And I think a lot of times people think of art in a very limited way that kind of impairs their ability to answer the question. Like, I'm thinking Mona Lisa, and that's all I'm thinking. Like, that's what an artwork is. And of course, it's beautiful and it's a famous work of art, but it can be limiting as far as, you know, what we perceive to be art. And I know with tattoos, I mean, tattoos are an evolving form, been around for the longest time. But I think even in American, let's say American culture, there's a different feel about the acceptability, the recognition of tattoo artists as preeminent artists, and those type of things. Is that a trend of maybe just the popularity of tattoos? Is that something you've seen in time, and has that impacted kind of how you want to approach things? So, for example, the dedicated time that you spend in creating that space, what are you observing within tattooing, and how are you reacting to some of those elements?
Like how tattooing is like more mainstream.
Yeah, that's probably just it right there. Yeah.
I think it's great. It's like, I've definitely encountered and, you know, worked with tattooers who are very me against the world and have continued to hold that. And I think maybe they, you know, attract clients who are of a similar state of mind, which is, you know, great. Like, I'm glad they found each other. But I would say too, that, you know, more people than not in my experience are curious about tattoos, but have not felt comfortable or safe to ask questions to a tattooer or to go into a shop just to gather information, whether or not they want to commit to the appointment. And one of my goals too with this space has been for it to feel accessible and you know, inclusive is really big. So I'd say, you know, I really like that more people are having conversations about tattoos and there's not as much stigma around it. And I mean, like anything, you know, there's fear of the unknown. And if I can be a resource for somebody to ask questions or to, you know, express an idea that they've had, I would, yes, this is my pleasure. Of course I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and thank you. And thank you for what you do. Renee, a big question here, and it's just about influences, and answer it as you may and wish. What or who made you who you are? What are your influences?
Well, first I would say, I mean, again, my parents, my mom and my dad, just these incredible human beings who, you know, have stood strong in who they are as individuals, as well as who they are as parents. And, and as spouses. So, you know, that was really big too, to grow up in a home that said, you know, figure out what brings you joy and do that. And we're just here to, you know, support you and, you know, maybe tell you if there's one choice that might be a little bit more destructive than the other one. But, yeah, I say mom and dad, definitely. The environment of the Pacific Northwest, I think too, like I grew up in Portland, and we spent a lot of time throughout my childhood on the Oregon coast, south, like Waldport and Yahats. And then, in parks, like up in the gorge too, hiking in the forests along the rivers. And so this wildness as well. And I think that, you know, being in nature as a child and having parents say, you know, really get in touch with like, what is underneath this? Like, what is the essence of you? It was a combination of this, you know, very primal state that I think a lot of us who live in the Pacific Northwest now, it's part of what calls us here, is this connection that people have with these incredible old growth forests and, you know, the Pacific Ocean. So I would say that it's just truth, like saying true to me and true to my connection with the planet and a human being, like in this body and in this human form. And tattooing is a way to express that, is a way to ornament that. I think it can be all encompassing of just like sort of bringing together your spiritual essence and your physical essence. And growing up in the Pacific Northwest really provided a place for that to happen for me.
Yeah. It's a beautiful environment. I've adored Oregon's environment and its the places since I've lived here. I wanted to ask you, Renee, about that. You talked about maybe how you know, the tattoo can change your ideas and the art itself can evolve with your relation with the client. And you're talking about space, which I'm really picking up on what you're saying. I found that a place like Astoria for me is very influential on maybe how I think and how I create. Portland has been both an artist that I've interviewed. I've spoken highly of the complicated place of Portland in the sense of, I really do feel there for me. I'm a 49-year-old white male, but I feel that the artistic and the expressive environment is open. It feels like a place compared to many other places where people can say, boom, this is me. And there's something there that I really like. What I wanted to ask you is, as far as not just the relationship you have with the client, but where you are in Astoria and in Portland, do you find that there's certain things that come through you as a creative person that feel different in those locales compared to others?
That's an interesting question. I will say there's definitely a difference for me in an urban environment versus small town. There's a pace to the city. And I mean, even, you know, Portland is slow compared to like any big cities, especially if you go east. But there's definitely a pace that since moving to the coast, I've had to sort of like retrain myself. And so be it like when I work in Portland, I enjoy moving at a faster speed. I tend to maybe miss details that here on the coast with clients, I'm just slower. I guess I recognize more. So when you talk about, you know, the evolution of that process too, with editing or having a conversation about your piece when you come into the studio, it's easier for me to hold space for that on the coast. And in the city, it does feel rushed, or it can feel rushed for me. Yeah, I guess I that's kind of the best answer I have for that. I don't feel like in any way I am like less of myself or have to like prove anything. And if that makes sense, like I think for some people in urban environments, it can definitely harden us. You know, there's along with that pace, there's sort of like this expectation that you maybe will just like earn your space. Like if you don't want the safety of anonymity, which, you know, so is very appealing to some people in a city as well. Like if you're going to stand out and live loud, then prove to us that you are worth doing that. Or like, why are you doing that? And I don't feel that. And I especially don't feel that in Astoria. We're here, you know, again, people who are here want to be here. And so you also want to know your neighbor. Like if you chose this place, tell me why you chose it. And what is it that you're doing here that inspires you to be here? So I definitely hold on to that and take that with me when I am in the city.
Yeah, I enjoy, I mean, and part of me asking too is, you know, I think with artists and their perceptions, it can really inform like ways of thinking about space and like how we interact with humans. And I just love what you had to say on that. Renee, I have the big question of the show that I need to ask you, by obligation. It's the type of, questions philosophers have, which make philosophers isolated historically and shunned.
No, okay.
But no, it's the big one. And it has to do with you being a creator as well. But why do you think there's something rather than nothing?
Because if there's nothing, what are we doing? Like that's a void.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at the same time, you can't have an up without a down. So you can't have a something without a nothing. And so if you are a something, what is the alternative? Well, the alternative is nothing. I don't want that. Like, that doesn't sound very fun. It's not like I'm going to learn or grow.
Yeah.
So it's a something, and the something can be whatever you create it to be, whatever that needs to be for you. And hopefully you want to share it and to learn about the other person's something, and you have more somethings plural.
yeah. The thing with the question too is I've asked artists it, and typically like an academic question, but I've very much tried to pose it to creatives like yourself, as creatives, you and of yourself, and thinking about creation. And it's been such a wonderful way to get a lot of different responses, like the deeper meaning of like why we're, you know, like why we're trying this. I think people hear the question is, you know, is there a God, or why are there things around us, or why are we doing this, or, you know, and it's, there must be a reason that propels us, you know. I think, is my general thought. We're just kind of pushed to something.
Yeah. Pushed to something. I think, I mean, by nature, we want to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to use your brain and use your body. And so that in itself is something tactile, or something to, you know, to input, something to output.
Yeah.
Without that, you have, you have nothing. Without that, you have lethargy. I don't.
Well, you have. Well, you said, and I like to say, you use your, you know, it's up here. It's your brain, and it's your body. You feel it, and you know, yeah, you're doing it. All right, Renee. So I've been able to encounter your art and have had the pleasure of speaking with you, but I want you to let the audience know of like, where do they check out your stuff? Like anything that you create, where do they find you? All that type of stuff, because there'll be a few listeners who'll be pretty intrigued by what you have to say and want to know where you are.
Oh, Well, hi, listeners. I guess I didn't even do like a formal hello.
They'll love it.
I'd love to hear from you. So my studio in Astoria is Simply Human Art, and the website is www.simplyhumanart.com. And there's a contact page on the site that sends an email, which is the best way to get in touch with me if you were wanting to book a tattoo. You can also use that contact form if you would like to set up just a phone call or a FaceTime session. I have clients who are yet to book a session, like the tattoo itself, but we've had really wonderful phone chats about their thoughts and questions. So email is the best way for that. And in Portland, I tattoo with Hidden Rose Tattoo in Northwest Portland. And you can call the shop to book with me for an upcoming guest spot. I will say that getting in touch with me directly is the best way to do so. As the days that I work in Portland vary from month to month. So the artist there may not necessarily have my exact scheduling.
Thank you so much for letting us know where you are. I've had the great pleasure of talking with Renee Barish here, and tattoo artist from the Pacific Northwest, working and inhabiting lovely Astoria and in Portland. Renee, I just wanted to thank you personally for spending the time to come onto the show. I'm deeply fascinated by the beautiful art you create and create, you know, for others on others, and really appreciate you taking the time to chat tattooing some Pacific Northwest, what you're up to, and just spending time on the show. So I wanted to give you a deep thanks for coming out to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a joy. I really appreciate the time and your questions. You had great prompting questions too. So you're good at what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you kindly. Everybody, Renee Barish, check out her website, check out her tattoo art. And again, thanks Renee. And I hope to chat with you soon, and I hope to get my 9th tattoo from you, scheduled out properly when you have time and all that type of stuff, with consultation in the living room, the living room-esque type atmosphere of your studio. So I'll certainly be in touch.
Amazing. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee.